Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show is for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS and to the speed of light on the World Wide Web at the original Car Guy website at thecarguy.com. We're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights, and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. Whether you've been a regular listener or on board for the first time for today's program, thanks for tuning in. I'm looking forward to what we have for you in today's program because the topic we're going to put up on the lift today is a first for this show. This is a car-related topic that I've appreciated. I'm inclined to think that all of you have enjoyed too at one time or another. Now, whether you're a car enthusiast, gearhead, car nut, car buff, car guy, or car gal, and of course, an everyday motorist, I think one of the art forms you can all appreciate that is a catalyst for our experiences and memories is found in music, and that is the subject of today's upcoming spotlight, specifically car music. After all, what other type of music would be such a natural fit here on the Car Guy Show? You know, the songs like Little Deuce Coupe, Hot Rod Lincoln, Hey Little Cobra, Dead Man's Curve. What was the first song that ignited the car theme music trend, and what's inside of the car music culture? What's your favorite car music memory? There you have it. After hundreds of topics up on the lift here in the Car Guy Show, when we come back from a gear shift here to spotlight our sponsors, we'll come into the straightaway and tap into the horsepower of car music. Fuel for your journey. You're tuned in to News Talk 990. Hey, you know about getting the job done right. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what car and truck buffs, owners of classics, custom cars, and wise consumers know when they visit Daily Car Bath, Santa Barbara's downtown coin-operated car wash supercenter for more than 40 years. After discovering Daily Car Bath for my own cars, I've returned to give my machines the superior wash and cleaning care that all car buffs appreciate. At Daily Car Bath, you'll find premium hog's hair wash brushes with conditioned soft water and five stalls with foaming high-sudsing auto shampoo that literally floats debris off your vehicle's finish, along with consistent high-pressure washing and available non-acid low-pressure wheel and tire cleaner. And for that special finish, DINI spot-free rinse to help dissolve and eliminate mineral spot and spray wax formulated with clear coat protectant included in the cycle. See why Daily Car Bath is known as the place where customers send their friends. And take it from a fellow car buff. When it comes to the best in car care appearance, you'll find it all at Daily Car Bath. Open 24 hours a day at the corner of Anna Kappa and Coda Streets. Quality, economy, and that showroom shine.
Change your life in a big way.
Everybody needs a big brother or a big sister. And Ben, he plays football with me and we like to do things with it. He's my best friend. Whenever he comes over to my house, he feels like he's a part of my family. I feel like I'm a part of his family too.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment. What is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of service. Tri-County Auto Glass. Rock Jet repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit, a positive word-of-mouth reputation may bring you in. Courtesy quality and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara, 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engines and transmissions. But you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts, from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways. Plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital, on the web at buyused.net, or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
And we are back with you here at the Car Guy Show, and you're tuned into News Talk 990 KTMS, where the torque is turning into tunes today as we shift gears to open the throttle into the topic that's up on the lift for today's segment. We move over to music and cars and car culture, and I have the joy of reconnecting with a fellow car guy in the community of car people, and his name is Dean Case. Dean Case and I have known each other through the Motor Press Guild, an affiliation with other journalists and communications and media people out of Southern California, but really is national in terms of affiliate journalists and media people. But we meet in Southern California in Los Angeles monthly for meetings. And it is great to be able to say, Dean Case, welcome to the Car Guy Show.
Thanks, Steve. Happy to be on the show.
And we're talking today because you are over in the motorsports world in Florida, correct?
Yeah, I'm between races. I just finished up with Sebring and got a couple of days for St. Pete, so I'm working out of the Speed Source Engineering office in Coral Springs.
And that's so cool. And you're inside the world of absolute cutting-edge technology with Mazda. And originally, folks, I want to let folks out there know, Dean was with Nissan corporate headquarters for the North American operations of Nissan. And when they moved, Dean had a decision to make, right?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, it's funny, you can go back further. I actually started my career as an engineer with Mazda.
Yeah.
Then I went to Ford, went to Nissan, did a career change from engineering to communications. And then when Nissan moved to Nashville, Tennessee, about 75% of us said, I don't think that's going to work for us.
Yeah.
So we went out and did other things. I started a freelance career.
Yep.
And I was still on good terms with the folks at Mazda, so I'm back in a different capacity. Now I'm managing the motorsports communications.
Very cool. Hey, are you a mechanical engineer or electrical?
Mechanical.
Okay. Where'd you go to get your degree, your BS?
Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
That's pretty premium engineering school.
It's a great place to live, too.
Yeah. Well, in the meantime, you're a communications person. I think that's pretty neat that an engineer can shift from side to side in the automotive industry. But it even makes it more eclectic in your interests. You're in a lot of different facets, but the one that we're going into today that the audience knows we're going into is music. How did you get into the facet of car culture? What's the story behind this?
Well, I've always enjoyed music. I joke that I play a critical role in the music industry. I actually buy CD records in the day and CD and pay for concerts. I have no musical talent of my own, but I collect records. And somewhere along the way, when I was a teenager, I started collecting records that were obviously the car songs. You know, everyone knows Little Duke Scoop and 409, all the Beach Boys stuff. But I always loved Beach Boys and Jan Dean. But then I started finding these more obscure songs, and it just got to be a little bit of an obsession.
Kind of like a stamp collector, right? Somebody's going after
it. Yeah. I'm sure that stamp collectors, coin collectors, whatever you collect, if you get into it. And relatively speaking, this is an affordable hobby for me, and it doesn't take up too much space. I mean, I don't have a garage full of cars.
Right.
I have bookcases full of records and CDs. And memorabilia.
It's
like
an affordable obsession.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you're not Jay Leno. You don't have the money to buy 100 cars and 100 motorcycles or what have you.
Yeah. And well, what I did when I worked at Mazda, straight out of school, and so I'm on low budget, I had this idea in my head. Well, why don't I put together a cassette of all my favorite car songs?
Right.
And at that time, I wasn't even sure I had enough really good ones to fill out a 90-minute tape. And I did it. And since I was in the design studio, I had one of the designers do original artwork for it. And this predates home computers. So a lot of this was done the old-fashioned cut-and-paste method.
Yeah.
And so I did these really nice labels on them and everything.
Sure.
And I gave those out as Christmas gifts, and they were a huge hit. And I did such a nice job, some people thought I bought them. It's like, no, I made these.
Right.
And so then it just kind of spurred on over the years.
And you had your niche. This is your thing.
Yeah, it was my thing. Okay. And some people said, well, you got to sell these. And I said, well, I can't. I mean, there's copyright laws.
That's right.
You can't be selling. I mean, that one's It's a little bit gray if you're just doing it for friends because you don't want to rip off the artist.
Right.
Clearly over the line if you're selling them. I didn't want to do that. I had too much respect for the musicians.
So how'd Rhino come up?
Well, what happened when I was at Ford, the Motorsports, technically I was working under, that's a sales and marketing organization at Ford.
Yeah.
And I was the Trans Am program manager when Ford dominated Trans Am. And the 35th anniversary of the Mustang was approaching. So I just thought, hey, I've got an excuse. I'm going to call Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was a big fan of how Rhino did box sets and everything. And I thought, rather than just doing something like T-shirts or hats or something to commemorate the 35th anniversary of the Mustang and the championship, maybe we could do a CD.
Yeah.
And I contacted Rhino and sent him some of my stuff. And I got to the right guy, a guy named James Austin.
Yeah.
And James, he had the same passion. And he had never been able to convince anybody at Rhino there was a big enough market for this box set.
It's a four CD box set that you did. You were associate producer, and folks that might have got this at the start would pick up on the fact that we're hovering around a project that evolved out of your love for car music. But when you say a box set, Rhino was doing a lot of retro things. People might be familiar with the Rhino brand. What else would they know Rhino for? A lot of retro stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's really their niche. I mean, as opposed to just doing like a single CD greatest hits of an artist, they would do a multi-disc celebration. I mean, they did, I mean, and James is this really cool guy. You should get him on your show sometime, James.
Yeah.
You'd really connect with him.
Sure.
Here's an intentional detail that Rhino did where I knew that they were the right guys. When they did a Ray Charles box set, they did the back cover in Braille.
Okay, I mean, they just really get it.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's just the respect for the artist, the attention to detail, and they like to do clever things. Well,
are they still in business?
You know, Oh, yeah. Rhino's still in business.
Doing the same types of things.
Yeah, they were purchased by, I believe it was Warner some years back. So now they actually even have a deeper catalog to help, you know, rebuild, if you will.
Yeah.
Doing the box set, not brand specific, not just Ford.
Okay.
Now it just opened up the whole portfolio of any car song with fair game.
Now, Dina, pardon me, but the fact that you did a project for the 35th anniversary Ford Mustang that was a three CD set, thematic, but not necessarily as tight as you may have preferred. The gentleman at Rhino, James, what's his last name?
James Austin.
James Austin had a vision with you and for you that you guys came back and collaborated on, which resulted in this Hot Rods and Custom Classics four CD set, correct?
Yeah.
Now let's move into the music. You love the car music. What would you want the audience to know are some of the most interesting backstories of car culture music that's out there? Is there anything you want to start with?
Oh, man. I mean, it's just unlimited. I mean, you got the Beach Boys. The funny thing about the Beach Boys, and I love their music, but, you know, Brian Wilson was really into the music. He didn't surf. He didn't have a hot rod. He just was into the music. And it was others who were writing the lyrics, but it was other guys in the band and related to the band who sensed that California was ground zero for surf culture and hot rod culture. And some of the lyrics are pretty funny if you actually listen to them, because are they actually technically correct? No. You got to pick words that rhyme and work with the beat of the music, not necessarily are technically accurate about the car.
No.
You have to have a little bit of leeway there.
Well, actually, before we go much further into discussion, let's grab a song and just spotlight an example of something
from Rocket 88.
Rocket 88. Let's play Rocket 88. Here for about 15, 20 seconds or so, very briefly, and get an idea. This is Rocket 88. Folks, what year would that be? What is that, the 50s, the 60s?
Yeah, 50s.
And that's Jackie.
Rocket 88's in the 50s.
Jackie
Brenton.
Brenton. And his
Delta Cat.
You got it.
Heard of jalopies, you heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along.
Now that's kind of cool, going back in time. I had never heard that before this four CD set. Tell us about Rocket 88. Why is that kind of cool to you?
It's considered one of the very first, you know, car songs, and actually one of the first rock and roll songs. I mean, so that gets a lot of credit. It's very, very early 50s. I mean, a lot of these, the credits are not actually known, but it was really, it set the standard for a lot of the 50s stuff. That
was a landmark song then, one of the first, and folks can appreciate. What did Jackie Brenton go on to do anything else, or was that his one-hit wonder kind of thing?
Well, you know, it's funny. With my collection, a lot of it, I just get the car songs. I mean, I will scan through records just looking for titles.
Yeah.
And so, to be honest, I'm not the expert in Jackie Brenson. I just know that's considered really one of the first, it was a landmark record in that regard.
Okay. Certainly, everybody can remember Little Deuce Coupe and Hot Rod, and you know, but tell us, what else comes to mind? I mean, there's Lead Sled, well, Motorhead Baby, you know?
SS-396 by Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Okay.
This
Let's play that.
So
Let's,
cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
General Motors basically commissioned that song. I mean, GM, there were some of these records in the 60s. 50s was all just what the artist wrote,
right,
in the 60s.
Okay.
Some of the best Hot Rod songs were actually funded by the car company.
Okay.
And SS-396, Paul Revere and the Raiders was a big group in the 60s.
Sure.
But the only way you could get that record, it wasn't released. You couldn't buy it in the stores. You had to go test drive a Chevy to get the record.
Yeah, that'd be a good incentive today, you know? Come in with your iPod or your smartphone, and we'll update your phone with a song of a great talent that you... Of course, that's not so exclusive. You can almost do that automatically, but it's still fun to think about. Test drive a car to get, at that time, a 40... What would that be, a 45 single?
Yeah, it was a 45.
Cool. And that's a collector's item.
Yeah, the flip side was a Corvair Baby.
How fun. That's fun. GM themed. Now, let's go back. Now, Dean, let's play that for a minute, that SS-396.
Forget about your Hemis and your GTOs. I've got a new machine, and she really goes. When I pass you on the drag strip, you'll know darn well. Been beaten by a porcupine, V.H. Chevelle. Tacking it up now, you better be quick. Nothing can outrun my SS-396.
Now, Dean, what year was that? Do you remember which SS-396 they were promoting, which Chevrolet SS-3? It must have been a 67, 68, 69, 70, somewhere in there. I'm thinking that.
It was very early, whenever the SS-396 launched. It was pretty early.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
It's supposed to have been the Corvair.
Yeah, well, Corvair was in there, obviously. But I'm
the
audience.
About someone, 67.
Yeah, I'm thinking the audience, someone out there probably knows Chevys so well that they could even confirm for us. But
I'm
thinking.
I'm sure your audience would.
Yeah, I hope so. This is not a cooking show. SS-396, I'm thinking 67 may have been first for Chevelle.
That sounds right.
Yeah. In any event, very cool stuff. Let's go back to how this evolved. So the evolution to the 4-CD set and these songs was something of a, you know, as we use the term, maybe often it's easy to say organic, but it's true. It wasn't something synthetic where you guys mashed it together. Now, this 4-CD set has how many songs in it?
I think off the top of my head, it was 87 songs. I mean, and that was the best. And also, though, the ones that they could get rights to, because you can't assume you can put every song on there that you want. So there was a few things that I know James was trying to get, but just the label, whatever label controls it, wouldn't allow it.
Okay, so this is not necessarily all the best that you both would want, but the best of what you could get access to. Let's hit a few more to just help the audience appreciate. We've hit only a couple. Let's hit a bunch more. Hot Rod Lincoln, do you have any insights on that?
Well, there's a whole... Hot Rod Lincoln was actually a response to Hot Rod Race.
Okay.
And there's a whole bunch of different versions of both Hot Rod Race and Hot Rod Lincoln from the 50s.
Yeah.
And some of them are not exactly politically correct to play if you follow the original lyrics.
Okay, now Hot Rod Race is on here. Can we play it even for 10, 15 seconds?
Sure, I mean, play both Hot Rod Race and Hot Rod Lincoln.
Okay, folks, we're going to go to Hot Rod Race, give you a sample of going back. Again, this is the mid-50s?
Yes.
Mid-50s, Hot Rod Race, and it came out before Hot Rod Lincoln.
Correct.
But we know Hot Rod Lincoln was a response, so it had to be second. Hot Rod Race, here we go.
We had twin pipes in the Columbia butts. You people may think that I'm in a rut, but to you folks who don't dig the jive, that's two carburetors and an overdrive. We made grease spots out of many good towns and left the cops' heads spinning round and round. They wouldn't chase, they'd run and hide, but me and that Mercury stayed side by side.
Okay, so Hot Rod Race was by Ramblin' Jimmy Doolin.
Yeah, I believe that was the original version.
Okay.
Rhino knows, you know, they look at what they think is the best. I think also what they can get the best recording of, because some of these older songs you don't want to have to go to a second-generation tape or something.
Hot Rod Lincoln was then a response. It was inspired by, or was it to counter?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, it's kind of like it was the counterpoint song, if you will.
Hot Rod Lincoln. Let's pop over there for a moment, because this is by Johnny Bond.
Yeah, and that's the original. Most people know the Commander Cody version, but Johnny Bond was the original.
Okay, so we have an original that inspires the later one that a lot of people recognize. Let's pop over to Hot Rod Lincoln for a moment, the original.
Yes.
Now you've heard the story of the hot rod race when the Ford and the Mercury was setting a pace. That story's true, I'm here to say, because I was a-driving that Model A. Got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. And that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders and use them all with an overdrive that just won't stall. Got a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust. 411 gears that can really get lost. Got safety tubes and I'm not scared. The brakes are good and the tires are fair.
Fun stuff. And early on, hot rodding. You can picture the open coupe and the chopped and lowered and channeled and all the cars that are coming through the 50s and the 60s driving down the road with that kind of music. Now, there's so many others. Route 66 theme. There's the Beep Beep by the Playmates, right? Roadrunner,
yeah.
Bo Diddley, Little 40 Ford, the 41 Ford, by the Grand Prix band. Drag Race, where do we go from here? What's next? How about a highlight?
Oh, I mean, if you want to get something a little more modern, I think the Ramones, Go Little Camaro, Go.
Now, what's the story on that? What's the backstory? Let's go to that for a minute. Can we pick that up for a second, get the frame?
Well, just, I mean, the Ramones were one of the legendary bands from New York in the 70s, 80s, and it's just like showing the passion for cars wasn't just the 50s or 60s, so... You know, the Ramones were not known for doing car songs.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool when a band like the Ramones does one. They're not going to make a whole theme of it like Jan and Dean or the Beach Boys, but I just love the Ramones song.
What about Hey Little Cobra? The Ripcord, spelled with C-H-O-R-D-S. They were clever with their mix of words there for music and chords and the Ripcords and Hey Little Cobra. Any thoughts on that one?
Well, a lot of them, the Ripcords, I'm not sure if they ever toured. There's several of these bands. I know like the Grand Prix and some of the ones. They were all... things that Garrett, there's a legendary producer in hot rod music named Gary Usher. He did a bunch of hot rod and surf music.
Yeah.
In the 60s, they would crank these albums out right and left, and it was all the same studio musicians.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't necessarily a band to go out and tour to support. Back then, the money was made on just cranking records out. Today, it's much more concert tour.
So that could have been a name of a band that wasn't a touring band. It was just thrown together for that group of musicians?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Now,
Part of what Rhino was trying to get across here, and I agreed with, was just the diversity of car songs. And you can have something like Lowrider by War, which would never play in the same radio station as Junior Brown's Highway Patrol. I mean, it's just like completely different genres of music, but still the same common love of the car, open road, whatever. So it's just, I think that the one of the themes here is just about, cars and how they are a uniting factor for a lot of us.
Okay. But can you give us a couple of things that are sort of the obscure things that make you fascinated by telling stories when you're talking about little known facts and myths and realities about fun music about cars? Anything back there?
There's a great one I love that I just heard. Mark Knopfler, who was the guitarist for Dire Straits, had a CD out about a year ago.
Yeah.
There's a song on it called "The Car Is the One."
Yeah.
And I'm listening. It's just a great song. And I'm listening to it. It's like, wow, what was the inspiration? I read the liner notes.
Yeah.
And I find out that he was inspired by reading Mark Donohue's book, The Unfair Advantage. The race driver, Mark Donohue, wrote a autobiography shortly before he was killed in the 70s. And 35 years later, that book inspired this song.
Yeah.
And it's a great song.
What band again?
Mark Knopfler. Yeah, this just came out within the last year and a half.
Okay, cool song, and based on inspiration from Mark Donohue's story, a race car driver.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey,
yeah,
how about, this is,
that
listen,
was really cool.
Let me pop over to one, and I'm just going to be spontaneous here, but I think as I go down the list off this boxed set, by the way, this Rhino boxed set, you'd have to go on Craigslist or eBay or something to find Hot Rods and Custom Classics. It's been out of print and production for how many years? 5-6 years probably, Dean? Or more?
Oh, 12. I mean, it's actually, it sold out, and it's one of these things that by box stands, I think Rhino told me it sold about 20 or 25,000 copies, which for a box set that was selling for $70 is quite good.
It was profitable. You'd have to buy it. It's out of print now.
You can find used.
Yeah, online somewhere. So let me ask you this one. One that I think everybody who's been around on the planet long enough to hear some of this older music, Dead Man's Curve. By Jan and Dean. Sunset Boulevard, referring to Sunset Boulevard over there and just around Westwood, UCLA, and in that area, into Beverly Hills, right?
Yeah, right by Doheny and stuff. And You know, I haven't actually ever gone and driven it, but I remember someone wrote an article a while back where it's like the lyrics were actually wrong in terms of some of the placement. But here again, I think that these were songs by musicians who liked cars. They weren't car people trying to write a song.
Yeah.
And so I think that a lot of these, whether it's getting the specs wrong on a car or there's another song I like where they had, it was about racing and they got the order of the races incorrect, but it's just like they got to make it flow lyrically.
Yeah.
I think you have to get an artistic license.
Sure. Now, on balance, are there any car-oriented bands that have done car songs? You said that these are musicians who like cars or like doing car-oriented songs. Any car people who happen to be musicians that did good car songs?
Oh, I have to think on that one offhand. Yeah. I mean,
I'll tell you the closest one I can think of, and I'm just kidding when I tell you this for the audience too, but when War, that band did Low Rider. I think they really related to what they were writing about. You know, you just get the sense of it. Let's play that for a second. Now, you come out of that and you realize, Dean, correct me if I'm wrong, don't you just hear that it's just a cruising song? You feel like you can sit low.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a classic L.A. song.
Absolutely.
You know, East L.A. band.
Okay. I'm going through here. I see Rockin' Down the Hideaway. That everybody who's vintage enough to know the 70s, going back or even heard it in the 80s, Rockin' Down the Highway, the Doobie Brothers, that's a cruising song that everybody can relate to. Any thoughts on them with their cruising music? What's your favorite? Well, I guess before I ask you that second question, what's your favorite cruising music? Rocking Down the Highway is pretty fun. Anything about your recommendations as we wind down here on music that you want people to know about? Where would you say they should go today if they want to buy some good car music? Any other CDs that are current today or on Craigslist or online people can find?
Well, you know, one of the great things is just with iTunes because you can search by name.
Yeah.
I mean, I was able to find a Mazda song online.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of these that I think one of the big changes in music is the fact you can download the one song you want. You don't have to buy the album if you didn't like the rest of it.
Where's the greatest resource of lists of good car music? You could probably Google car music, but do you have any suggestions? Maybe finding this Rhino CD set online being used.
Well, the Rhino set, you can find the listing for the Rhino online. I mean, so there's 87 really cool songs.
What would you Google?
Rhino.
What would you Google? Hot Rods and Custom Classics by Rhino, and it would come up?
Yeah. If you just type in Rhino Hot Rod box set, you'll get it.
Okay. Well, that's fabulous stuff. I wish there were more we could go into, but I just wanted to take you out and show you to the audience and share your insights just about some of the novelty of being a car industry person and a journalist and a media person who happens to be somebody who was associate producer of a collection of now 87 songs that were out, no longer in production, from Rhino. But, Dean Case, this is just fun. Any other suggestions or websites or anything you'd want to suggest to people who are car enthusiasts and like the car music?
The search engines out there are so good, you can find it. If you just type in car music and do it on YouTube or go into iTunes or a lot of places, you can discover it. I mean, I'm still always on the search. I still hit used CD stores and used bookstores, and you never know what you're going to find.
Let me tease.
That's half the fun of the search.
Well, Dean Case, from Mazda Speed and from Motor Press Guild, the Journalist Association, and from the Car Guy and Car Gal Network of Car People, it has been great to be with you, and I want to ask you if you're okay with me looking at one song I've never heard on the CD set that I think I'm going to pop in just to run for a few, just briefly, as we go out here, and that one's titled Spark Plug. How much more car-centric can you get than that? Is that a good one? Any background on that one? By the four teens, it looks like.
I don't remember on that one.
Then that's why it's fun, because we're talking obscure stuff, folks. We're with Dean Case, and Dean, at least you remember that title. It made you giggle, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's a car song.
It's kind of funny. This project is like over a decade ago, so I keep adding new car songs in my collection every month.
I appreciate it, but look, we'll go out after the segment with you here to thank you for being on board for this segment of the Car Guy Show, and we'll slide out of the interview with you with a little quick visit over to Sparkplug. Good enough?
Good enough, works for me.
All right, Dean. Thanks for being on board for this segment.
Happy to be on the show, Steve.
And thank all of you for joining us for this segment on the World of Wheels. And this brings us to the close of another visit with all of you here on the Car Guy Show. Join us here again next week for another segment from the Coastal Riviera, right here in Santa Barbara on News Talk 990 KTMS and video travels at thecarguy.com. Keeping your car wise, I'm Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
I'd like to go out dancing at least till 2 or 3. But when it's time to quit, I just throw up. Cause I'm just getting started, you see. Now everybody calls me Sparkplug.